then talking about the gospel in Romans. And one of the things that you realize as you look through the book of Romans, if you follow the way that if you follow the way that you know he talks about everything God has done for us, it really is big. Sometimes I ask people, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What do you get out of being saved? And a lot of times the one thing people remember is my sins are forgiven, right? And say okay, or I get an eternal life. But here we've seen, first there's an atoning sacrifice with forgiveness and mercy and substitution. Jesus took our place. There's righteousness that's given to us as a gift, right? Righteousness is given to us as a gift. There's peace with God. We have peace with God, and we have a Lord, Jesus. Instead of Adam, we serve the Lord. We have a new life and freedom to serve God, freedom to not sin, freedom to walk with God, right? To serve God and righteousness rather than sin. And we're released from the law, and he calls it the law of sin that dwells in us. in order, we have all these things God's given to us in order that we can live for God. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is another aspect of what God gives us. And for me, it is like the life-giving person of Christ and the Holy Spirit in us that makes us able to live a life that pleases God. I'm going to read through what we did last week because I keep things in context. It says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, God's saving work is not just something we think Jesus is my Savior, right? But God the Father sent the Son. God put him forth as the atoning sacrifice. Jesus submitted himself to that and went to the cross based on God's will. And then the Holy Spirit is sent from the Father and Son to us. You have the entire Trinity at work in salvation. It's not only one person, but the entire Trinity. God is at work in salvation. He wants to produce in us good works. Sometimes in some theological places, good works is a scary term because of the problems people have had with Catholicism, and you become saved by that. But Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 tells us that God created us in Christ Jesus as new creatures unto good works. So the end of salvation is that God creates us and makes us able to do things that are pleasing to him, right? And so, think about it. He says here, that the requirement of the law would be fulfilled. Now, the law is, 613 laws, right? But there's two. Remember, there's two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you think about that, if you sum up the whole law in that in Romans 13, he does. He sums it up under love. Because if you love people, you will not break the law. You will, you won't steal, you won't kill, you won't fight, there's so many things, right? So he's saying that by the power of the Spirit in us, we can live a life that fulfills the purpose of the law, fulfills God's pleasure in the way we live, right? People fail to do this, right? Watch the news. Look at what's going on in the world. Look what goes on in neighborhoods or on the streets or freeways or wherever, You don't have to look far to see that people aren't living that way because they're not living according to the Spirit. They're living according to the flesh. And that's where we, you know, pick up, again, the requirements of the law. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, this one Greek word is translated, set your mind, because it really is the focus of our being. And it says, you know, this is from a couple of articles, but as a result of thinking, mindset, way of thinking, outlook, aim. Another one says the seat of intellectual and spiritual activity. The idea of the flesh either guides all your ambitions, all your hopes, all your toil in life, you know, is either guided by the flesh and you live according to the flesh and it tells you what to think. It tells you, you know, what to seek. It tells you how to live. Or according to the Spirit, you live. And that's a whole different thing. The Spirit leads us in a direction where we can think about God and honor God. Just a few things that... the idea of these two contrasting things, that but they're both not temporary. They're both present, active, meaning it's a way of life. Do you live your life according to the flesh or do you live your life according to the Spirit? And the question is, you know, is the Spirit of God actively working in me? Is the Spirit of God actively leading me? Do I you know, think about God? Do I think about kingdom? Do I think about eternity? Or am I focused only on this world and my life and my pitiful health and all the other things that the flesh is engaged in? Jesus talked about the mindset of worldly people, fleshly people, and that they were really thoughtless towards God. He talked about the Pharisees in Luke 11:40. And he basically called them foolish because he says, you wash the outside of the cup and you leave the inside dirty. In other words, they wanted to look good, but inside they were dead. He also called them tombs. He says, you know, you're like a whited tomb. You're like this beautiful marble encasing, but inside is nothing but dead bones. That's someone that's not thinking about God. If we're thinking about God, we're always thinking, you know, I maybe shouldn't have done that, or I should do this, and being guided by His Word and His Spirit to do things that are pleasing to God, that are honoring to God. Where a person that's not thinking in that way, they're thinking according to the flesh. They're not concerned. Augustine talked about the Romans in a book called City of God, but he talked about the Romans. He said they wanted everything in their house to be good and others beautiful except for themselves, and meaning their soul, their hearts were not right, right? The other part of it, of being in that mindset, is you think only of worldly things. You know, and there are things that we have to think about. You know, some of them we have to work. We have to work to live. But we're talking about the thing that governs your heart, the thing that governs your mind, your ambitions, your desires. And you know, work is work. And worldly stuff is worldly stuff. But there's the kingdom of God, and there's the word of God, and there's the truth of God, and the life of God that is different than that. So mind only, again, only on worldly things. We have to think about where we have to eat. We have to live, right? But only on worldly things, that's not good. If you've ever been around someone who has worldly success and worldly success is all that they're about, and they talk a lot about themselves, but their focus is only on the worldly stuff. They don't think much beyond that, right? So again, this focus, John puts it this way. He says, you don't love the world. He says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The things that these are the things that are according to the flesh, right? It's only temporary. It's only now. Where, you know, the focus guided by the Holy Spirit, He's going to lead us to, you know, focus as Colossians tells us, you know, set your mind on things above. Why? Because that's where Jesus is. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is in the glory of the center of the throne of the universe. And there is our Savior, and there is our Lord, and there is our Father. And that's the seat also where the Holy Spirit comes from, right? So He draws our minds to things above. Think about eternal things. The the way that we think about life, you know. Where are you going to be in 100 years? Where are you going to be in 100 years? What's going to matter in 100 years? Really, what's going to matter in 100 years? Right? We have to, you know, the Spirit of God, He'll tell us about eternity. He'll lead us towards thinking about, you know, there is a kingdom of heaven. There is a place where God will set our feet in that glorious space based upon how we did here. According to the Spirit, we think about that. According to the Spirit, we live for that, right? He tells us also to have the mind of Christ in Philippians 2. The mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? He says, remember, love God. Love His kingdom. Love the idea of pleasing God, honoring God. Love God, right? Love one another. And Philippians, he says, the mind of Christ was this. Christ came and He emptied Himself and He gave Himself because we needed a Savior, right? The text in Romans earlier, chapter 5, was God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. So God's mindset and Christ's mindset is not selfish. It's looking out for others. It's caring about others, compassionate, reaching out, helping wherever we can help, right? Can't do everything. We cannot save the world, but we can help and we can look out for each other, right? So these are the difference. You know, he says again, the focus of your mind, the focus of your ambitions, of who you are, is either going to be kata sarx, according to the flesh, or kata pneuma, according to the Spirit, right? Now, here's the bad part about the flesh. And you have to realize most people that you know are walking according to the flesh, living according to the flesh. Most people you know are not thinking about God, not thinking about Jesus, not thinking about the Bible or the Word of God because they lack the Spirit. The Spirit we'll see as a gift. But here, he says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Just by very nature, human beings are enemies. The word hostile means, at enmity or to be an enemy. They're enemies of God. Enemies of the Creator. Enemies of the one that made us to be like Him. Enemies of the Father in heaven. If they're in the flesh. Now, and I'm trying to help you to see, I hope you say, well, that's not me. I care about God. I love God. I want to please God, right? So the flesh is an enemy to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. It cannot. It doesn't submit to God's law. How many of us, we might torture ourselves a bit thinking, I didn't live up to this verse. I didn't live up to that verse, but we're listening to the Word of God and we want to submit to the Word of God and we want the Word of God to guide our steps. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us towards that. The Holy Spirit leads us towards the ability to submit to God, right? And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. To live a life. And this is what one of the sad parts about people who live in the flesh is they will try to find some justification for their life. They'll try to invent a rule. They'll try to make their own rules. They won't submit to God's rules, but they'll say, well, if I'm a good neighbor, if I take care of my family, I work hard, I'm a good person. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I've got to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all that I am. I've got to love God. God deserves respect. God deserves glory. God deserves everything that we are, right? That's God. And if all my, quote, rules about life have to do with here and now and nothing with God, I've failed. I'm a miserable failure, right? So, cannot please God. We want to please God, right? One of the things that I think we think about is our struggle in life to try to do what's right, right? We want to do what's right. We want to live right. We want to please God. Now, I tell you, that comes from the Spirit. That comes from God. That's not like something that you thought of your own or that you guide yourself through. That comes from God. And if we find ourselves not measuring up, right? We're not in Romans 7 where we fail. That's, you know, the things I want to do, those are the things I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. Oh, what a wretched man. You know, that's not us. But when I find myself, you know, getting too quick-tempered or you know, something like that, some act, and we'll look at the flesh in a second, but some act that isn't godly, I don't think, oh, you know, now how do I fix that? I think, I know how to fix it. I need the Spirit of God. I need the power of God. I need Jesus in my life. I need Christ in me. I need to worship. I need to pray. I need to call upon God. And that's why I tell you all the time how much I enjoy being here, because this is where I get filled. This is where I get strength. It's because when I'm with you and we worship together and we pray together, there's a presence of God. There's a Spirit. There's a strength. And I mentioned, like, at Easter, you know, we had Good Friday and Easter, and both, I don't know why, but both of those days together made a real heightened spiritual grace for me. And so you wake up Monday singing. You know, you're praising God because the Spirit of God is there. And you got to keep that going. So our struggle is between flesh and Spirit. And if I start to see the flesh, I know I need the Spirit. And it doesn't go away. Remember, present, active, and indicative. That means it's always there, right? He doesn't go anywhere. We're the ones that go somewhere, right? Yeah. And it's like, you know, so I need to be in a place where I can do what's pleasing to God. And you have to also remember, this is something, I was in Bible college, and I'm walking down the street. Now, my early year as a Christian was like on fire. I mean, God was showing, I saw visions, all this just real powerful stuff. And you know, and I'm walking, and it wasn't quite the same intensity. And I said, you know, what do I do? How do I get the Spirit? How do I get those great, powerful experiences again? And then I thought, well, let's see, what did I do back then? Oh, yeah, I was smoking dope all the time. I was cursing like a sailor. I said, okay, I didn't do anything, right? I didn't do anything. God's grace, God's mercy, God called me out of that and gave me the Spirit, right? And so here he says, you are not in the flesh. That's a great word, isn't it? God says, you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, right? In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, you didn't do anything except for believe in Jesus. And you don't believe in Jesus unless God calls you to believe in Jesus, right? And he says, Paul says, listen, I'm telling you, don't walk according to the flesh. Walk according to the Spirit. By the way, you have the Spirit because God put that in you. God gave that to you. You didn't earn it, just like everything else, right? We got righteousness, didn't earn it. Got mercy and forgiveness, didn't earn it. The only thing we've done is believe in what God's done. And God gives us all these great gifts, and he gives us the Spirit. Now, he does say anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, how do you know if you have the Spirit of God? One of the things is that the words of God ring true in your heart. That they're life to you, they're light to you, they reach you, right? The other thing is some of the things we've talked about. Do you think about the kingdom of heaven? Do you desire to please God? Do you measure your life according to God's truth and word? Those are all things that come from the Spirit of God. You know, I could also mention worshiping God and praying to God and just sensing his presence. That was probably the first thing that excited me, because it felt so nice to be in that presence. It just lifted my heart, you know, every time. And you walk out different, feeling God's grace, right? So, You know, if you have the Spirit of God, then you're in Christ. He says, now, and he puts it, he says, but if Christ is in you, when we were little kids, you know, what'd you ask? Jesus, will you come into my heart, right? Well, how does that happen? The Holy Spirit. And that's how, I mean, you literally have Jesus in you. That's what he says. You know, the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of God. It's called the Spirit of Christ. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's got a lot of really powerful names. I think the Spirit of Life was used earlier in this chapter. I think that's a title. It's not just, you know, Spirit of Life. It's Spirit of Life, a name, right? The Spirit gives us all this connection with God. He's the one that gives us an ability to know God better than we could ever know him on our own. You know, I knew about God my whole life. I knew about God. I read the Bible. I believed about God. But when the Holy Spirit came into my life and came into my heart, I knew God. I knew God. And my everything that I knew about God or liked about God just heightened because the Spirit was there to strengthen and give me that zeal to seek God. To, you know, just reading the Bible became a whole different thing. I couldn't put it down, and the words meant so much more to me than they did before, right? So, you know, he says, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. What does that mean? That means this clay vessel, this temporary thing that we walk around in, it really is dead. Why? Because if I lived like this forever, sin would always be a problem, right? But your spirit is alive because of righteousness. There's a living presence of God in us. God's given us that righteousness. God's given us forgiveness and mercy and grace. God's given us freedom to serve him. God's given us the Holy Spirit. That points to eternal life. That points to how we'll live with God forever without the clay vessel. Right? So, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, this is, you know, again, we owe God. Don't you feel like you owe God something? I owe God, you know. There was a time in my Christian infancy that I thought that God owed me because I was doing so much better. And then, you know, as you grow a little wiser, a little deeper, you realize I owe God everything and I could never pay him back. That parable Jesus said, so even if you work all day, says you're still a worthless servant at the end of the day. You haven't given him anything. Everything has come from him. So he says, we're debtors. We owe God. What do we owe him? He said, we owe God to live by the Spirit and put to death the flesh, the deeds of the body. I don't know if you've ever heard of Brother Lawrence. He wrote a book called Closer Than a Brother. And it was, he talked about, it was practicing the presence of God. And he just said that, you know, if I'm washing dishes, you know, because he worked in the, you know, if I'm washing dishes, he says, you know, I'm doing this to the Lord, and I'm praising God, and I'm engaged with God in it. But then he talked about this. He said, if I, as a Christian, have these bad ideas come into my head, have these bad, you know, little tempers or things that are not, you know, the right thing, but by the power of the Spirit, I know it, I see it, I reject it, and I move away from it. He says, What happens to a person of the flesh who doesn't have that strength, that helper, that paraclete, the Spirit of God, to lead them away from those ideas, to lead them away from the next step, which is action or trouble or sin, right? And he's, you know, it's like he realized what a blessing it is to have the Spirit of God to be able to reject the things that come to us by nature. and to stand. And this is what he's talking about, you know, put to death the deeds of the body. Don't let those things live in us, right? We see them, we know what they are, and we say no. You know, a lot of pretty people in the world, and you know, Job said, "I made a covenant with my eyes; I won't look at a woman." Right? So, you know, and by the power of the Spirit, every woman becomes a mother, a sister, a daughter, right? Every man a father, a brother, a son. You know, we're not like fleshly people, right? There's so many ways that the power of the Spirit keeps us from allowing the flesh to destroy us. The flesh is death. The flesh will destroy, and unfortunately destroys many, many, and most people in the world destroyed by the flesh because they don't possess Christ and they don't possess the Holy Spirit, right? Now, just the last thing, just so we know, this is from Galatians, where he talks about these two things warring against each other. And I want you to think, because, you know, we can beat up on ourselves pretty hard when we think about, oh, yeah, because we are human, right? We do, but he says, the works of the flesh, and listen to the list. They're plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. Now, these are not little things, right? I mean, it's basically vile, uncontrolled perversions is what he starts with. And look, our culture is full of that stuff, you know? I think they something happened in one of the school systems where they made them remove out of elementary school, little kids' school, all the books that have pictures of sexual acts. That's how bad our culture is. That's how bad people of the flesh are. Oh, no, kids need to have the freedom. No, they don't, right? We know that. A godlessness, you know, the idea of idolatry, worshiping something other than God. Witchcraft, which is our sorcery, which is the use of drugs to manipulate people. And then you have all these things about relationships, basically making enemies, picking fights, wanting what everybody else has, being angry with people, like not in a moment, being angry with people, basically splitting apart. Party spirit's kind of interesting because it's heresy. It means, yeah, the word, I mean, literally in Greek, it's heresy. And it means to, you know, divide on based on bad teaching, bad doctrine. Then you have the drunkenness and carousing and the like. Those things are like getting polluted with alcohol to the place where you're inebriated, you can't think, you can't act, you do. These are terrible things that he lists for us. These are not, you know, a slip. These are terrible, nasty behaviors. And that's what Paul say, you know, we don't go there. We put these to death by the power of the Spirit. And then he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, you know, it is life-giving. It leads us to the right way. So Paul basically telling us we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. For me, the way, you know, in chapter 12, he tells us to boil in the Spirit. You know, he tells Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. The only way I stir up the gift is here with people, with the church, praying, worshiping, looking at the Word, thinking about the Word, right? I thank God for the Spirit of God. What a powerful salvation. What a powerful salvation. How much of it is really dependent on me, right? I mean, if I list out all those gifts, we'll be here for a while, but all the things that God has given us to keep us, to help us, to make us as he'll say in the next section, the children of God, the people of God who get to live with him forever. Father, I thank you so much for this word. Thank you for your gospel that is indeed life-saving and life-giving. And it's not just one thing. There's so much that you poured out for us, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.